Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hot Body Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to another episode of the Yesterday's Hero Odyssey. We're working our way through the 1979 classic film Yesterday's Hero. You might have seen it the other night, actually, on your TV set. It was on Talking Pictures Channel again, which is where it regularly crops up every few months. So you could have watched it in widescreen, HD, fucking surround sound or whatever. Whatever this 1979 film has got.
I might do a screening of this movie for like my birthday or something. Oh, I've just had my birthday, but I might do a special because cinemas are slowly reopening, but there is a small cinema that you can hire near me. It's not too expensive.
Oh, you've done this before, haven't you? When you nicked off all the sweets and then realised you got charged for them.
That was probably, of all the compromising situations I've been found in my life, and there's a lot. I mean, I have been caught red-handed in terrible situations countless times through my life. But probably the funniest is at this quite fancy place, the geezer walking in. And it was the fact that if it had been me stuffing all these snacks into my rucksack, that would have been quite bad. If it had been Len, separate to me, stuffing it all into his rucksack, that would have been quite bad. But what made it so perfectly awful was the fact that my son, who was only 8 at the time, is standing there frantically stuffing sweets, popcorn, bottles of Coke into his rucksack, but with me stood over him managing it.
Yeah.
Like, literally instructing him.
You could get some up your sleeve if you try.
Quick, get it out and side pocket. Now, have you got all the bottles of Coke? Good. And then the geese is just standing there looking at us. It took me a few moments to notice he was there. I think he was aghast at what was going on. Oh, hello, I'm just taking these. They're all bought and paid for. No, they're not, mate. Then I didn't have the bottle to put them back because I thought it'd make me look cheap, so I gave the cunt about 100 quid.
Fucking 100
quid for a load of snacks.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you're going to go back and do it again, but without the snack acquisition.
They were shit snacks as well, by the way, because it was all that kind of, you know, that over-the-top artisan small batch popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Fucking and you thought, well, cinnamon I might as well and have this.
Cinema and oregano flavour.
Yeah, you thought, well, it's going to be free. I might as well give it a try. I certainly wouldn't pay good money for it.
Yeah, and you're wretched. But you're eating it anyway because you've got to eat something.
Yeah.
If not, you'll be hungry.
Good life lesson.
That's my
that,
attitude.
Isn't it? It's a good life lesson. You've got to eat something, otherwise you're going to be hungry.
You've got to eat something. I mean, you're not going to sit watching a film not putting something in your fucking gob and down into your guts. Be awful.
It's like in the history box this week, we were talking about the adverts for milk. Have some milk, you cunts. And, you know, also tied in with the adverts for cream cakes that celebrities used to do. Have a fucking cream cake. Go on.
Yeah.
And they should do adverts for food. You've got to eat
the
something.
You've got to eat something. Food. Because, fuck's sake, you've got to eat something.
Don't forget to eat.
Always be eating. We used to have that as a, you know, in that film, Glengarry Glen Ross.
Yeah.
And they have ABC, Always Be Closing.
Always Be Closing, yeah. That's a diveable film, isn't it?
And when we used to do away days, me and my mates, and you know, one of the away days where you're going up north and you like meet at Euston at like 8 a.m. and you'd bang on it. And so we had this sort of philosophy that we stuck to, which was always be eating, A-B-E. Because we worked out of what happened was between all the alcohol and very often drugs, you'd sort of forget
drug tablets
to eat, and it would ruin you. It would like ruin you because you'd be, you know, start at 8, then you'd do all that travelling, and by the time you were back, you'd be in really bad trouble. And you would often just forget to eat because you wouldn't break for regular meal times.
Yeah.
So we'd go into like the shop at the station and just buy everything, like as all the snacks.
Everything edible. Yeah.
And the thing was, it was like a policy of eat even when you're not hungry. Just keep feeding your body energy.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just think that's not a bad, like, even if you're not on an away day.
Did it manage to keep you on an even keel throughout those away days?
Well, it always ended awfully, but it probably could have ended a lot worse.
It prolonged the awfulness a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It probably stopped me from going to sleep at the usual time. I'd very often fall asleep as soon as we got in the ground because it was the first time I'd sat down in a few hours. So I'd sit in the chair and then the whistle would go for kickoff and then I'd just be asleep, snoring. Oh, well.
Always be eating, yeah. God, we used to have sessions where we'd be, if it was like a match day, and we'd start at 12 because we knew we were going to be out for the whole day afterwards as well. And we go to a place, a pub in Sunderland called Baroque. It was a very fancy pub, and they did massive.
Named after an art movement.
Massive breakfast they were doing there with everything on, plus chips. Chips. Chips very sprinkled important. Across the top like a garnish.
If you're a young lad listening and you're gearing up to start going to away days again once lockdown's over, just whatever you do, always try to start with the biggest gut-busting cooked breakfast you can.
And then, of course, you'll be too full to drink. So,
yeah.
But those days are behind me, thankfully. So what are we doing? Yesterday's Hero, isn't it? Yeah, I'm looking at the...
you know what that all reminds me of as well, all that preparing yourself for a big day out and starting early. You can't help but go back to Callum the Sunderland shitter.
I was just going to mention him. Yeah, adopt the Callum approach.
Well, that's a fable for our times, isn't it? That's like, if we ever do the Bible of Top Flight Time Machine, that will be like, you know, like the Old Testament. Yeah. Which is just a load of, as I understand, I've never read it, but the Old Testament's the good one, isn't it? Because the New Testament's the one just all about Jesus. But the Old Testament's just like loads of really great little stories about mental things that happen.
Yeah.
It's basically like Tales of the Unexpected, the Old Testament, isn't it? It's just like a series of fucking mad incidents that took place in ancient times to people. Right.
I'm wondering, is it diveable? Could we do a live show?
I would love to do that. Yeah, because actually I haven't ever read it and I'm sure it is really good. And but also, you know, it's all fucking really mad. It's not like small things happen. It's not like, you know, like our stories that we have on this podcast. Like, I got locked out and I ended up sleeping in the neighbour's front garden. And then in the morning, blah, blah, blah. It's quite good. But in the fucking Old Testament, it's like, I managed to part the fucking seas using magic.
Yeah. I mean, kind of what you've done with these stories is create a modern Old Testament, a new Old Testament, if you like. Yeah. Mm. I mean, we were going to introduce...
Judging shitting out of a tree, that would be in it, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we're gonna try and introduce Sir John God, I think, into the live shows when we do them later in...
Yeah.
Not this year, might be this year, I don't know. But he could do some Old Testament stuff. Just thinking out loud here, I don't know.
I've always thought that someone ambitious, an ambitious filmmaker, and maybe we'd be the people to write the screenplay, no one's ever done a biopic of God. They've done ones of Jesus because they had, his name in it, that the lad who did the show with Jasper Carrot.
Robert Powell. Yeah. From The Detectives.
And I think they've also done Willem Dafoe played him as well.
Yeah.
But, so there's plenty of stuff about Jesus, but the real story... is the man behind Jesus, the origin story, God.
The fella
a biopic of God would be amazing. If you go right back to when God, like, who created God?
That's the question, isn't it? Yeah. Ooh. Maybe we should find out
fucking
in the film.
Hell.
Yeah, maybe there's a higher God.
The God of gods.
The God of gods, yeah. Don't know. Where are we at?
Yesterday's
Hero. And Rod Turner has just signed for The Saints, as they're called. They don't seem to have any other name other than The Saints.
Yeah, I like that.
Been signed
just
up
call
by,
them The Saints.
Yeah. They signed up by Clint Simon, who needs a player for is Cup semi-final, but they're kind of like third tier level, League One level. Rod arrives at the training ground and Clint introduces him to Jake, who is the manager, who is a miserable cunt, played by Adam Faith. And Clint's all sort of fucking happy and jolly, and he says, "Yeah, Jake, you know each other?" And Rod says, "Yeah." And Jake says, "You better get your ass out of here and start training, hadn't you?" And Rod says, "That's what I'm here for." And it's all a bit tense. And yeah, then
really good at you. Both of them are really good actors.
Yeah.
Adam Faith, underrated actor. And he's brilliant in this. And yeah, there is a great, between them both, every scene that involves them both, I feel, is genuinely really like authentic and quite tense.
Kind of like really Heat. Great. It's kind of like De Niro and Pacino.
It's like Britain's answer to Heat, but it's better.
Yeah, but 10 years previously.
Yeah.
Jake says, "I heard you'd given up training." And Clint realises there's a bit of an atmosphere here, and he's like, "Fuck this." And he says, "Yeah, look, I got a split, so I'll see you both later." And he just wanders off. He's like, "Oh, fuck, what have I done here?
Fuck this.
I've put these two arseholes together. I can't be around for any of this negative energy shit. I'm away."
Yeah. That's what I do. I relate to Clint in this scene.
And Rod tries to shake Jake's hand, and Jake just ignores him. Jake stands there with his arms folded, just ignores him.
And fuck he off with your handshakes, you prick.
Exactly. You fucking punk.
This is a place of work, not handshakes.
Yeah. And he shouts, "John, put him to work, will you?" So Rod's going to get into the training ahead of the semi-final. And then we cut to the bit at the end of the semi-final, not the end of the semi-final, the end of the training session. And some of the players, a couple of the players come across and they're welcoming Rod to the squad. One of them puts his arm around him and welcomes him and all this. And Rod says, "I'm glad someone wants me." So he's feeling a bit sorry for himself. Jake Marsh, isn't it? Yeah. One of the players says, "Take no notice of the boss. He's a right bastard." I love that. He's a right bastard.
Yeah, that's proper. That's like old school sort of swearing, like we did in those days. You don't have to dress everything up. He just goes, "A fucking bastard." And then, like, people got into things like Blackadder. And I remember in your Get in the Seat, one of the things that I really thought was great was how you called people out for using stupid fucking over the top swearing like cockwomble.
Twee swearing.
Compound swear. They think they're being clever. And I just like a good old fashioned, I don't want to sound like xenophobic or nationalistic or anything like that, but at the end of the day, you cannot beat a good old fashioned British swear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's why the swear words are effective, because they're usually one syllable. They've got a hard sound to them. Fuck. Cunt. Twat.
I hated all of the, when Trump was president, I hated all of the dickheads who loved sort of doing over elaborate sort of, you know, you ginger haired fucking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like orange faced fucking blah, blah, blah. Like really over elaborate. Because they think they're being poetic. But it's like the poetry is in the swear words themselves.
The poetry is in the brevity of them, exactly. Yeah. You know, two syllables maximum.
My mate was telling me yesterday that he his daughter plays in an under 11s football team that's quite competitive, and he goes round to quite a lot of away games, right? And he was asked this weekend, he was asked to run the line, and he's quite an anxious type, my mate, and he was like, "Oh, fucking hell. Oh, well, it's only an under 11s game, an under 11 girls game. It, you know, should be all right." And he goes, his mate told him, "Oh, be careful, mate." He went, "A couple of weeks ago, I had to do it." He went, "And I made a call that," he goes, "it was fairly marginal," right?
Yeah.
He goes, "it was marginal." He goes, "but I called it, and it's just an under 11s girls game in like the Surrey League or whatever." And he goes, "and a dad crept up behind me as I raised the flag, leant in and whispered in my ear really close up so no one could hear." He just went, "You fucking cunt." He went, and this bloke went, and I've got to tell you, he goes, it fucking chilled me to the bone.
Oh, Brett.
He went, because it was just so sinister, the way that he whispered it so softly and gently into my ear.
Wow. Anyway,
and this is an under 11 girls game.
Yeah.
I keep saying girls, which makes me sound like I'm belittling it. So maybe it's not relevant it was girls. But the point is, it's a kiddies game.
In a way, it's good that the girls game is now finding itself on the same level as the male version of the game in that respect, in that there's a dad who's prepared to lean in and say that. That's good. It means there are
my lad Len level is wants equal. To quit Monday Football Club after school.
All right.
Because, frankly, doesn't like the teacher who trains him.
Oh, okay.
And I'm this like...
This feels a bit European Super League.
I'm trying to, like, be a little bit... I'm pretty soft with my kids, but occasionally I feel as if I ought to say, do you know what? You should stick at this. You've made a commitment, stick at it. But this morning he was, like, in tears, saying that he didn't want to do it. And I go sometimes a bit early to run the rule over what these coaching sessions are like. And I tell Len all the stories like, you know, fucking hell, the coach who we had when I played for my Sunday league team, who stole our passports and would swear at us and literally call us cunts and stuff when we were like 11. Do you know what I mean? Like fucking mental, complete madman. And we just sort of got on with it. But Ali, you were there. Well, it's only us. You were there out of choice. It wasn't a mandatory school thing. We were members of it. We paid subs. Our parents paid subs for us to be members of it. And you go, they go, and he didn't be in the full sheepskin. And everybody go, you fucking lazy cunt. You look like you've been on the nest all night. That's what he'd always say. And we didn't even know what it meant. Yeah. And then he just nicked our passports, fuck's sake.
Jalapeño.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeno.
Right, so like I'm at fucking watching Len's after school Monday night football and I'm thinking, mate, you don't know you're fucking born. But the point is that the coach you used to have, it was all built around having fun because they're only nine, right? And the coach he's got now, he's one of the teachers, I've not seen him be mean or abusive, but what he is he's dead serious and strict and he runs it all like a drill because he's trying to make them into footballers. And Len's argument is, to be honest, I'm not interested in that. I'm there to have fun and enjoy playing football. And this is not enjoyable. Yeah. Like, he barely ever lets us play a game. He'll, like, do drills over and over again where you're trapping the ball or practicing turning on the ball and all of that. Routine, routine, routine. And I'm sort of caught between, on the one hand, I don't want to be someone who just, as soon as my kid doesn't like something, I let him just duck out of it because it's not a very good life lesson, right?
It's not.
But then on the other hand, it's like, he's in tears because he so doesn't like the vibe that this coach is putting out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm going to let him quit, but I'm gutted.
I think you've got to give them you can kind of tell when it's serious and when they really don't want to do it. I mean, when they're in tears regularly, that's kind of...
Yeah, he hasn't done it. I go, and when he's doing it, he seems fine. And he's with his mates. All his mates do it. And they're all, like, having a bit of a laugh together. But then afterwards, I go, how was it? And he goes, horrible. I really didn't like it. And then when he gets in next week, and it's the morning he's packing his kit, he gets really upset saying, please don't make me do it this week.
Yeah.
And I go, are you not telling me something about this cunt? Because the way you're reacting, it's like he's being really horrible to you. And I've not seen that. But I can see that he's serious. I think kids aren't... I mean, my kids... especially at the primary school, they're just not used to strictness, really. Yeah. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of focus at primary school on just making people feel happy and comfortable and having fun.
Yeah.
And then you get someone who's taking something dead serious and they think, fuck's sake, I only do this for a laugh. This is like really intense and annoying.
It's hard, isn't it? Because life like that, some things you've got to go through are hard and difficult.
That's what I
and
said
like,
to him.
And it's like, are we, without trying to sound like an old fucker, are we raising children who are too cosseted? Because everything's about making them happy and feel good.
That's what I'm wrestling
life
with.
Life isn't fun and joyful all the time. Life's fucking hard.
What I keep saying is I keep giving him all the Alcoholics Anonymous recovery spiel, right? I don't tell him it's from that. Now, listen, son, right? Your dad had a big issue, and I mean major, with gear and booze, right? It were out of control. Right, so I've joined a fellowship, right? And I found it very, very helpful. And I'm thinking, the way you're going, maybe you should join it too. No, I just go, listen, you can't control what other people are like. You can't change the way this teacher is, but you can control your response to it. Yeah. And you can, you know, it's the old thing that we say about don't let someone live in your nut rent free, right? So it's like this bloke, this teacher, he's living in your head rent-free. But he's not trying to. He's just, that's how he rolls.
That's just how he is.
Yeah. That's just how he rolls. And you can decide how you react. So you can sort of laugh it off or think that he's a bit of a knob and just get on with enjoying the session on your own in your own way.
Which he clearly isn't. I mean, you've sort of given Len those opportunities to try and think about it and decide whether or not he wants to do it, but he's still hating it. And he reacts very badly
when I give him this spiel about how tolerate the shit that basically don't try to control other people, just focus on your own reactions to other people. It infuriates him, understandably.
I had a similar thing a few years ago. My son used to go to Cubs. He was in Cubs for about 2 years and he quite enjoyed it. Sometimes he'd come back and he said, I didn't enjoy it tonight because some of the other boys were a bit too rough when we were playing games and stuff. And, you know, the Arkela or whatever they're called, the scout leader, didn't discipline them enough and didn't really, wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And that this would happen a few times. He'd be like, oh, I didn't enjoy it. It was too rough again tonight.
That's reminiscent of my own experience of camps.
And he'd want to leave. And I'd say, no, stick at it because, you know, sometimes it doesn't always go your way and sometimes people are rough, but, you know, stick with it because the fun outweighs the bad stuff. And then one night he came home and he just said that one of the other boys tried to strangle him. And I said, all right, well, you can stop going now then. I think once we get the strangling and attempted murder.
Yeah, strangling level.
Yeah,
but that is one of the badges, the strangling badge.
Oh, right, I didn't know that. So they've got a lot of new badges now, like Wi-Fi.
Strangling badge is one of them, but not everyone agrees with it. And all I would say is, it is the Cubs have got a tradition of teaching boys how to strangle effectively. Mm. But what I'm saying is, do they have to do it on the other boys? Can you not do it on like a dummy or something?
A dummy or something like that, yeah.
I mean, a kid knows that a kid needs to know how to strangle, but of course, you're perfectly capable of teaching your kid how to strangle.
Of course, I can teach him. It's not hard, is it?
No.
It's, I mean, we picked it up when we were kids, just from, you know, no one taught us.
In those days, we were out front strangling in the street till it got dark and your mum called you in for your tea.
But it wasn't frowned upon as much as it is now. You'd have a lot of strangling in the mainstream media. You'd have
it on the news.
TV programs. People would be getting strangled. There's that time when Grace Jones strangled Russell Hartley on that interview. That time.
And you had that Sunday night show, Strangling Today, with Esther Ransom used to present it.
Yeah, of course.
And people would send in pictures of themselves strangling around the UK.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a fun thing, but nowadays it's a lot more, I don't know, it doesn't get the attention it used to. But
John Noakes did that strangling with Noakes, didn't he? Where he was like going around in woodlands and stuff, strangling ramblers. Yeah.
As long as no one died, it was all right, you know, as long as he knew when to stop.
This week, I'm in South Wales on the Brecon Beacons, where I am looking for opportunities to strangle some unsuspecting ramblers. Let's see how we get on. Come on, Shep.
Rambler strangling.
Come on, Shep. You sniff them out and I'll strangle the cunts.
So make sure you don't kill him.
That's the golden rule, isn't it?
Sometimes you can fail what might be that final breath coming out of them, but you always need to know when to stop. And I think that's what the Cubs teach now. But yeah, once the strangling starts, it's time to leave, I think.
No, I think you're right. I mean, you know, this is what I'm sure a lot of listeners who are parents, you wrestle with. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Spoil the child, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, take no notice of the boss. He's a right bastard, says one of the players. And he says, he's a good manager, but a right bastard.
Yeah.
And again, then the other one.
That's true too, isn't it? You do get people who are right bastards, but good.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. There needs to be an element of bastardry, I think. Not everyone. You're going to get results from just being a fucking nice guy all the time.
I love David Moyes, and I think that he, apparently his assistant, Alan Irving, who would have probably worked with him at Sunderland too, although I think he might have gone off on his own at that point to West Brom, which might be why,
maybe that's why
he didn't succeed. Yeah, but he's apparently a right bastard.
Is he?
But the players love him anyway.
Yeah.
But he's Moyes' like right-hand bastard, and he's like terrifying. He's a terrifying Scotsman. And the players are like, but they respect him for it, you know, so.
It was the guy that was Graham Taylor's right-hand man who used to shit off the top of the wardrobe into the cup.
Harrison, was that his name?
Steve Harrison. Steve Harrison.
Yeah.
Is that the equivalent of that, do you think,
Alan? No, I think he was the joker in the pack. You need that too.
Was he not a bastard as well, though?
I don't know if he was a bastard, but, I always thought that shitting from those bunk beds into a small teacup
top
was
of the wardrobe,
less...
wasn't it? I thought it was the top of the wardrobe.
Because I originally heard that he'd done it, there was bunk beds, which now, looking back, sounds far-fetched that the England players were staying in bunk beds. And he...
yeah, exactly.
And that he bestrode the bunk beds, like, you know, a bit like the Judkins technique, you know, a foot on each bunk bed. But maybe it was a wardrobe. But anyway... I thought that was done as a, like, bonding sort of, look, lads, come on, this is a bit of a laugh. This will improve team spirit. I'm shitting into a cup. But from what you're saying, if he was a bastard, maybe it was a power play. Maybe it was more like, right, I wasn't happy with your attitude in training today. Mm. Some of you are coasting. And for that reason, I've done a shit in a cup in your fucking room. Right? And it's going to stay there all night. No one's to move it.
Or maybe he gathered them all around and made them watch him do it. You know what I mean? Because that's an appalling thing to have to watch. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Watch. This is what I thought of you a lot today. Climbs up onto the wardrobe like a fucking orangutan. Drops
Charlton,
his fucking pants.
Charlton, look at my ass. That represents your performance against Norway.
And
oh, by the way,
that paper cup on the ground, that's Euro 84. I'm shitting in it now.
Went to the zoo on my birthday last week in the Isle of Wight, and it was fantastic. But one of the best things that happened was that one of my presents was a pair of binoculars, which we won't dwell on now. But obviously, I thought, well, there's going to be a lot of Top Flight Time Machine content to be had out of these binoculars or nanoculars, as I like to call them. Just ninoculars. It's just funny, isn't it? Because when you're a kid, you can't say binoculars, so there's all different ways of saying it.
Binoculars.
Yeah.
Binoculars,
some ninoculars. Call them what you want. But we all know, my wife bought them for me, and I said to her, that's strange. I think that's quite modern that you're happy for me to attempt to look at other ladies' boobs from a distance.
Maybe she's just gradually trying to ease you out of the organisation by giving you an excuse.
There you go. Go for your life. I know what you'll be
looking
at. See
you in court.
Binoculars. Right. But anyway, what I did do was I took them to the zoo and a lion came out and I thought, right, time to have a look at this lion close up. So I got the binoculars out and he came out of his cage. I opened the door and he came out and he walked into his roaming area. Yeah. And he looked around a bit and then he cocked a leg sort of up on a rock a little bit and he began to piss. And I thought, fucking jackpot. The ninoculars came out.
They've peered for themselves here.
Yeah. I thought, if I never get any other use out of this fucking, of these monoculars. I don't care.
I watched the lion having a piss.
I watched this lion have a piss, Andy, and it was sensational. I mean, it's hard to describe. I might draw a picture of it, but it's a lion's cock came out. Now, the first observation I made was it was actually smaller than I imagined, because the lion is the king of the jungle, so you're expecting it to be a really impressive schlong.
Hefty cock, yeah.
And I'm not saying it was a... Look, it was bigger than mine, so I'm not judging. I mean, but, obviously, that was the first assessment I made. Now, a lion is it going to be bigger or smaller than my cock? Oh, oh fuck, it's bigger. Bigger. Well, shit. Fair enough, he is a lion. But nevertheless... Right, it was, if I take me out of it, then it was smaller than I would expect the King of the Jungle. It was quite stubby, it was fat, and it was hairy, it was lion-covered. It was lion-coloured. So, you know the lion's fur? That was all over it. So it looked like...
Wow!
But it was what's known as a chode. You know, like, a chode is a word for a small squat.
Small stubby. Penis. Yeah.
It was perfectly visible, and obviously it wasn't erect, right?
No. It's just having a piss, isn't he? Not trying to have it off.
Just having a piss. You can't have a piss with an erection, as any man who has woken up and tried to go for a morning wee with one knows. The only way to do it without getting it all over yourself is to do a handstand. And wee whilst doing a handstand. It's the only safe way to proceed if you wake up needing a wee but with an erection. Wall.
Yeah.
And, I utilised some of the dance moves I learned when I was into jungle music on drum and bass. Very often at the junglist and drum and bass clubs in the 90s, I would
do a dance. Is this to do
with dance.
Pissing upside down or to
no,
do with
I'd do
lion?
A dance where I'd sort of, when I got really, really into it, I would put my hands on the floor and my feet up on the wall and just writhe my booty. Really high speed, like drill speed. Do you know what I mean? To the drum and bass music. Humping the air or humping the wall. And that's now, and then that later got utilised when I needed to do an erect wee.
Good skill, like anyway, strangling.
Yeah, it's another badge you have to do in the cups. Now this week, kids, Arcana's going to show you. How are you going to do a piss if you ever wake up with an unfortunate erection whilst also needing a wee-wee? It'll happen to all of you, trust me.
And this is why the scouts can't be trusted. Where are we? So, yeah, the lion's cock and the binocular news.
That's it, really. I mean, I've got other binocular tales to tell, but that was the highlight of my birthday, was good. Watching a lion piss through binoculars, and that's my assessment of the lion's cock I saw.
I mean... My father had binoculars, and his father before him had them as well, and it's not something I've ever considered having. But now that you've said that, I think it's a thing. We're at the time of life where binoculars
are come into play
that we need. Yeah, I'm very, very attracted.
I was
by
delighted.
The idea.
I mean, I use these binoculars so much. I mean, I'm carrying them everywhere with me. In fact, later on, I'm going to meet my mate for lunch at a pub, and I'm going to walk back by the river, so I'm going to take the binoculars with me.
Oh, yeah. You can have a look at, like, some swans or something, can't you? That'll be good.
The other thing I do is, I defy you to not do this when you look through binoculars, right?
Mm.
I look through them, and I cannot look through them without, as I take them away from my face, looking to whoever I'm stood with, my wife, ideally, and going... No matter what I've been looking at, you just can't help but do it. It's just the only reaction you can do after looking through some binoculars.
Totally.
I don't bring many of them to the pound.
Bernard Breslau.
Jesus, steam coming out of your ears.
Am I going to order myself some now? I've just got an electric screwdriver coming today.
Oh,
why
I
haven't had an electric screwdriver before now, I don't know. Why would anyone use conventional hand screwdriver when you get an electric one for about 30 quid? Fucking hell. Yeah,
they're
so
the most handy thing you'll ever buy. They're up there with the shark, yeah.
Totally. And I'm going to order some binoculars.
But get some binoculars.
Well.
I got some Nikon ones. They're small ones. They're not like the ones you had in the olden days, like the big black ones. You get like fancy sort of like Nikon small ones that can almost fit in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's it from this one. We've covered about 12 seconds of the film, but that's what can happen sometime. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back with more next week. Are you going
to
add something else?
All I've got to say is binoculars.
Nunoclears. Thank you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.